No one is sure where it first came from. There is a belief it sprang from a US congressman in the early 1930s. But the rhyme has become increasingly popular. Don't tax you, don't tax me, tax that fellow behind that tree. In fact, it could have been the basis for much of what passed loosely as discussion of tax policy during the election campaign. Tax was, once again, all going to be paid by that nebulous group of people, the rich, or by all those faceless corporates. It was clear that it should not be paid by you or by the person standing next to you in the bus queue. The problem, and it has been so for years, is the perception that the people who ought to be paying the tax, who are never you or I, largely get away with paying little or none of what ought to be their obligations. And all this stems from two issues. Tax legislation and all its accretions over the years now constitute such a tangled mass that no one is sure what it is all for and how it works. And the second issue is largely because few can see the wood for the trees, and so people have less confidence that the right tax is being paid in the first place. Whether the tax system and the tax itself is fair becomes a matter of perception. From that vantage point, it is easy to find yourself in the middle of the sort of arguments that bedeviled the election campaign. No one really had a full grasp of the issues, and so perceptions were easier to believe. Edward Troup, chairman of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, said as much in his interview with Accounting and Business in the issue dated July 2017, just before the election. He said that they never do sweetheart deals with businesses. But he did recognise that there was a perception that they did. So he suggested that anyone who thought so should go to him with chapter and verse, and the point would be happily argued. The problem is that the teetering edifice of legislation allows all manner of arguments to appear valid. As with all the arguments over global coffee chains and their tax liabilities, it might be more sensible to change the legislation and so produce a different outcome to that which was originally intended. And the same goes for what many tax advisers see as a shuddering and erratic juggernaut bearing down on them, the programme to make tax digital. In a logical world, all this would be fine. The figures of every business would be online and in real time, and the tax due would simply sort itself out and be paid to HMRC. Unfortunately, things are not at that point yet, and nor are they likely to be for years. In the same interview, Troup said that he was confident that the implementation of the programme was on schedule and that they were on track. People are always apprehensive about change, and, with the recent British Airways debacle fresh in their minds, sceptical that it's not going to all end in tears. HMRC would clearly like accounts to stop whinging, yet people in the tax world tend from experience to think that HMRC's IT systems have tended to be designed to make it its life easier rather than that of the taxpayer or advisor. We are back to where we started. If the people on the receiving end take the view that they can't see clearly what the tax system is doing and why, then we are back to perceptions rather than hard fact.